We're holding on Sadiq Hey Ahmed Bey's 12 lines from the bottom. Continuing on this discussion we've been having as far as Basr Shinis Alam Min Ayin, when you have meat that was out of sight of a yid for any period of time, do we have to be concerned that maybe it was swapped out? We talked about yesterday in terms of ravens or other predators taking it and replacing it with something else. We talked about when might there be concern that a human being might have replaced it, etc. One thing you mentioned in that connection is that when you have a simen on it, then it would be allowed. We gave the example that we said that Rabba Bar Avuhna would cut meat into triangles, which Rashi had said over here that this way people in his household don't steal it. Or in Bava Metzia, Rashi had explained differently that it means that when he's sending it with a Goyish courier to his house, then he would cut it that way, and that way they could be sure that it was what he sent them. So now more on that topic as far as simonim on meat. So Rav Huna asks Rav, what happens if you have the meat on strings? So you string together a few pieces of meat on a string. And a couple of other explanations among Rishonim, including the Oruch, says that what it means is like you stick thorns or other things like that in a few different places in the meat. In any case, it's a simen. It's not a major simen, but it's a simen. So mahu, what would be the din? Would you have a problem with Basr Shinis Alam Min Ayin? Amalei, so Rav answers him, Alti Shoyt B'Chavuzin, don't ask a silly question about meat on strings. Harei Zeh Simen, it is indeed a simen. Or you can punctuate the sentence a little bit differently. This is how Rashi punctuates it. Rashi says two explanations. Alti Shoyt B'Chavuzin, don't be so foolish as to ask a question about that. As far as on strings, definitely Harei Zeh Simen, it's a simen. That's what Rashi says. His Rebbe punctuated it that way. Then he says another lashon is you punctuate a little differently. Alti shoyte, don't be a fool. Bacharuzin, how is a simen? When the meat is on strings, then it's a simen. In any case, the point is that yes, it's a simen, and then you don't have to be concerned of Basr Shinis Alam Min Ayin. Tosfos points out, the Mishnah tells us in Bava Metzia, it actually was very common to string fish or meat on strings, so much so that in Bava Metzia, in Eda Metzia, it talks about that if you find a string of fish, for example, then you're allowed to keep it because it's not a simen. But Tosfos says over here, okay, fine, over here we're relying on just even Rav is not going to be so machmir, even Rav who holds of the concept of Basr Shinis Alam Min Ayin is going to hold, as long as you have some kind of simen, then you don't have such a problem. Then you have Rishonim who learn that, then you have Rishonim who learn that, 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 that there's a difference in that regard between meat and fish. Fish they would regularly string, but meat not. Okay, in any case, so therefore, yes, you can rely on that sin. Ikadam, the others say that Rav Huna had not asked the question, but rather made a statement. Omar Rav Huna Avadab, b'charuzin, hareza simen, when you have meat that's on strings, and then you lose sight of it for a little while, hareza simen, then it's a valid simen, and then you can eat it, and you don't have to be worried about that it was swapped out. Next. Another example of Basr Shinis Alam Min Ayin, Rav Nachman from Nahardah, Ikla Lagabi Rav Kahana L'Pum Nara. One time Rav Nachman from Nahardah visited Rav Kahana in the city of Pum Nara, the Mala Yom Kippuri, on Erev Yom Kippur. And as we learned earlier in our Masechta, Erev Yom Kippur is a time when there's an unusually large amount of meat being shechted and eaten. Actually, you know, we learned over there, Rav Yisrael Levi says Erev Yom Kippur in the Galil, was specifically a place where they shechted a lot of animals. I guess in Pum Nara they did the same kind of thing. So Rav Nachman was visiting on Erev Yom Kippur. Also, Orbe, ravens came, Shadu, Kavdi, the Koyasa, and they're dropping livers and kidneys of animals. So the question is, can you eat them? Did they come from a kosher animal or not? Rav Kahana says, Shkil ve'achel, go ahead and take and eat. Today, meat of heter is much more common because it's Erev Yom Kippur and everybody is shechting in order to have meat for the Yom Tov. So today, most of the shechtim are Jews. As far as Tereifus, it actually points out, as we've been learning all along, most animals are not Tereifus, and therefore you don't have to worry so much about that either. The implication though is that 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 Rav Kahana would hold, not like Ram, that Bosish and Islam and Ayin Osir. Otherwise, fine, you don't have to worry about most of the livers and kidneys in this town, but what about other nearby towns? So it seems Rashi says that Rav Kahana disagrees with that. On the other hand, Tosfos says that, Tosfos earlier in the story about the guy who dropped the one head and then found the two heads, Tosfos says that maybe not, Rav Kahana is not necessarily arguing with Rav. It means that in this area over here on that Erev Yom Kippur, even all the other nearby places from which meat could conceivably come are also all mostly Jewish and even Rav would allow it in that case. Okay. Rashi points out over here in this connection and with the next story as well, it comes out, Rashi says the halacha is not like Rav in this regard, or Bosish and Salam and Ayin. Fine, you have his Talmudim like Rav Huna are paskening that way, but we see here, for example, that Rav Kahana disagrees. So Rashi says the halacha is in fact not like Rav, and Bosish and Salam and Ayin is not a problem. And as we talked about yesterday, Tosfos also agrees with that. On the other hand, the Rif and the Rambam hold that Bosish and Salam and Ayin is Osir, and the accepted halacha is like that. So unless you have a Simen or one of these other cases where we talked about yesterday, where it's Mutter, then indeed you do have a problem. So another story in this connection, Rav Chiya bar Oven Itved Le Karkashta, Karkusha. Rav Chiya bar Oven one time lost a Karkusha, which is the rectum of an animal. So he was going to he was going to clean it out and eat it. And he lost it Bei Dina. So Bei Dina would mean in the Beis Din, but on the side over here it says it's supposed to be Beine Dami, which means between the barrels. So he lost that. He lost that Karkusha. He lost that part of the animal among the barrels of wine. So then afterwards he found it. Also, Kameh Rav Huna. So he came to Rav Huna to ask if he can assume it's the same one. Amalei, so Rav Huna asks, Islach Simonim Begadei, do you have a simon in it? Amalei Loi, and Rav Chiya bar Oven says no. Rav Huna asks him, Islach Tvius Eina Begadei, do you at least have Tvius Ayin? Would you recognize it on sight? Sometimes you have, as we know with Alochas of Hashavas Aveda, that sometimes you don't have an actual simon that you can point to, but you can say, I recognize that. That's called, that kind of thing is called Tvius Ayin. So do you have that? So he says yes. And Rav Huna tells him, okay, Zil Shkil, then go ahead and take it, then you can eat it, and there's no problem of Bosif and Salam in Ayin. Now he was where Rashi points out, Rav Huna is a Talmud of Rav, so he's going to pask him, like his Rebbe Rav, that Bosif and Salam in Ayin is also, unless you have one of these mitigating factors. Rashi says, the halacha is not like that, And the halacha would be that you wouldn't have to worry anyway, that we would anyway go about what was said about when you learned it yesterday about on Sadek Hayom and Aleph, when you have meat that you find in the gvulim and you find slices, then you can assume it's mutter. I said, okay, maybe we're talking about over there, that's the reason that it means it's mutter, as in it's not nevela, but it's still also to eat, and you have various other answers. Rashi says these are all doichot. These are all like a real way of, you can say, fine, you can use those in order to fend for Rav, so we don't completely contradict him, but to say that the halacha would be like him, Rashi says that no. But again, the Rif and the Rambam say that yes, the halacha is in fact like Rav, and Bosish and Salam and Ayin is also. There are also various Mephoshim who point out that, you know what, I mean, some of these stories might have been in places where most of the butchers are going. All this time we were talking about where most of them are Jews, and then you have more leniencies, but over here, if you don't, then you definitely need a simon or three asayan or something. Fine. Another story. Rav Chanina Chayza itvad le gaba de bisya. Rav Chanina Chayza lost a back of meat, so back of an animal, a whole back, and then he found it. Also, kamei de Rav Nachman. So similarly, he comes to Rav Nachman to ask, I found a back, and I assume it's the same one. Amalei, and again, Rav Nachman asks him the same thing. Isfach simon begabe. Do you have a simon? Amalei loy, and Rav Chanina says no. Isfach tvius ein begabe. Do you at least recognize it on sight? Amalei Ein, who says yes, and Rav Nachman tells him, okay, Zil Shkil, then you can go ahead and take it. Same basic kind of thing. So before we had about a Karkusha, which is a piece of the intestine. Here you're talking about a whole back of an animal, which is a much larger piece. And another example, aside from meat, another thing which can easily be swapped out, and then you have a problem. Aside from meat, another example would be tefillos. In fact, we talked a little bit yesterday about the fact that Gemara and Avodah Zarah tells us there are certain things that require a double seal, chosam b'sof chosam, when you're transporting them from one yurt, when you're sending them with a courier from one place to another. And besides for, there's a simon that the Gemara gives over there, where the word is chavis. Where the beis stands for basil, which is meat, and the tof stands for tchelas, because tchelas also, as we learned in Menachos, is very easily forged with something with cheaper stuff such as indigo. So in a similar vein, then you have the same kind of dinim as far as tchelas. So Gemara says, Rav Nosson bar Abaye, each of the kibur of the tchelta, Rav Nosson bar Abaye lost a spool of thread of tchelas. And then he found it. Also, so he came to Rav Chista to ask, can he rely on it? And again, Amalei Islach Simonim Agavei. So, Rav Chista asks him, do you have a simon in it? Amalei Lo. He says, no. Islach Tvias Enim Agavei. Do you recognize it on sight? Amalei Ein. He says, and tells him, Imkain Zil Shkril. Then go ahead and take it, and you can use it for tchelos. So in all these examples, so we see in all these stories that you do need some kind of either a simon or Tvias Ayin. But without that, then you would have a problem. You might have to assume that it might have been swapped out. So again, does that mean the halacha is actually like Rav, or does it mean that these Amoraim that we're talking about over here are all Talmudim of Rav, and therefore they pass him like him, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the final halacha, that you have that machlokas Rishonim that we said. Okay. More about this matter of Simonim versus Tvias Ayin. Omar Rava. So Rava says, Meresha Hava Amina. I used to think Simona Odif Mitvias Ayinim, that Simonim are a stronger proof than Tvias Ayin. And therefore, in other words, so if you were to have, so suppose you find a lost object, and Reuven comes and gives a simon, and Shimon says, I don't have a simon, but I recognize it on sight, then you would give it to the one who has the simon. Now, why is that? Rava says, we see that we return a lost object when a person gives simonim, but we don't return something just based on the person recognizing it. So you see that simonim are stronger. Now, Tosfos points out, wait a minute, the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia, the reason why you don't return to the average person with Tvias Ayin is because we're concerned that he might be lying and claiming that it's his, when really it's not. So the Gemara tells us over there, Tamad Chacham, when you have a Tamad Chacham, that except for three things, which he does because of Anivus, the Dabke Shalom, or whatever, other than that, he always is scrupulously honest and tells 100% the truth. So then you can return him something with Tvias Ayin, but if you find that he lies in anything else, then you can't. Well then, in that case, the reason why you can't return something with Tvias Ayin has nothing to do with Simonim being better. It has to do with Tvias Ayin, the person might be lying. However, Tosfos points out that no, because even within Tvias Ayin itself, there's a difference. Here we're talking about Tvias Ayin, Tosfos calls it Tvias Ayin Kol Dehu. I'm pretty sure I recognize it. As opposed to when we talk about Tvias Ayin at a time, returning a lost object to a Tamar Chacham, would be Tvias Ayin Gomer. Yes, I definitely recognize it. So now, in all these cases that we had before, Tosfos says there was no Tvias Ayin Gomer. So it wasn't that they're 100% sure that this is his, but they're saying that they're fairly certain. Then you have other Rishonim that talk about different other angles about it. The Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva talk about that Rava thought, you know why you believe a Tamid Chacham and return him to Tvias Ayin? Not because of the matter of lying versus not. Because a Tamid Chacham is smart, he's sharp, he's very much on the ball, and therefore we can rely that he, when he says he recognizes it, then we can assume that he's sharp-minded, and therefore he really, he knows what he's talking about, as opposed to other people are not so sharp-minded, and therefore they may think they recognize it when you really do. In any case, so Rava had thought originally that the simon is stronger because we see that we don't return to the average person but to be a seiner. But Rava continues, now that I've heard all of these discussions, all of these stories that we just had, as far as where different chachamim were told, where Rav Huna and Rav Nachman and Rav Chista told them that you can rely on Tvias Ayin, so now you can assume therefore that the meat that you found is kosher. So therefore, I mean, Tvias Ayin Adifa. So Rava says, now I said that Tvias Ayin must be stronger even than a simon, which would mean, in other words, that if you find a lost object, And and two Tamar Chachamim come, one gives a simen and one gives Tvias Ayin, then it would come out that when it would come out, you have to give the, to the one that has Tvias Ayin. With that said, though, there are Mephoshim who explain that it's good over here on the side, and so it's a shash that that sometimes the word odif doesn't necessarily mean greater than, it means equal to. So sometimes, in other words, so Rover is not necessarily saying that Tvias Ayin is stronger than a simen, but he's saying that it's equal to a simen. Now again, so the question is, what do we mean over here? Did Rava originally assume that the reason you don't return a lost object to an Amaretz with Tvias Ayin, so it's not really because the simen is stronger, it's because we're afraid that the Amaretz is lying, whereas do we make the distinction, as Tosfos said, between a sort of Tvias Ayin and a definite Tvias Ayin? Okay. And Rava continues, the Ilai Temahochi. Anyway, if you're not going to say that, you're not going to say that Tvias Ayin is considered a very strong thing, then Heach Summa Motivishtai. How would a blind man be able to have relations with his wife? He can't see her. Evidently, he recognizes her based on other factors. How would men be able to have relations with their wives at night? What if she's not his wife? What if she's one of our eyes? So what it is he has Tvias Ayin, he recognizes the voice. So he may not be able to specifically say simonim on the voice, but he can recognize the voice. And therefore, that's good enough. The same thing by Bosh and Salam and Ayin and by Hashava Saveda and other things. We see that we can rely on. Tvias Ayin. One thing is though, the Marshal points out it's more than just the fact that there's Tvias Ayin. There's also the fact he finds his wife in the expected place that she should be in their house, in their bed. Then therefore, you don't have to be concerned that it's somebody else. So the Yam Shal Shlomo, the Marshal, uses that to explain. What about if he's deaf also and can't? And what about if he's both deaf and blind and can't? Or what about if he's just deaf but it's at night and he can't see her? It's dark and he can't recognize her voice. Nevertheless, though, because he finds her where she's expected to be, then we can assume that it's her. But actually, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out about that that doesn't really seem to fit with the flow of the Gemara over here, which is saying that you can rely on to be assigned the color according to what the Marshal is saying. You have a different thing that you can be saying. Okay, so he leaves it sort of here. So the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yitzchok Breder and Mesharshia says, here's another proof about the strength of Tvias Ayin. Kegan, here's another proof. Suppose that two agents were to come to Basian and say that so and so, who these are his simonim, he or his physical characteristics, kotol nafsha, he killed somebody. We can't kill them based on their edus because they can't be sure. Let's say, for example, they say that a guy who was wearing a certain outfit, for example, and was so and so tall, we saw him kill Pointer. We don't then do like a police lineup and find the person whose physical characteristics match that and bring him to Basin and try him, because you don't know, there might be somebody else who has the same simonis. On the other hand, if they were to say we recognize him, even though they can't give any particular simonim, then we say we would execute him. That's good enough to say that indeed we can identify that it's him because they can identify him on sight. Again, you may have this distinction between a slight Tvias Ayin and a definite Tvias Ayin. There is Rishonim and bring from Rabbeinu Hananel that even then we wouldn't believe Amei Ha'aretz to do Aegis on that. We would only believe a Talmud Chacham with Tvias Ayin like that. For that matter. So we see that Tvias Ayin is better than a sin. Now Tosfos asks the question. We have a case where a man is missing, and we find a body which has simonim that seem to match the person, and you have one version in the Gemara in Yevamos that says that that's good enough to allow his wife to remarry. But nevertheless, if afterwards, if afterward, um, So it's afterwards, later on. So let's say now she's married to her second husband. If now Adam come that she's Mizana, we will execute her for that. Why? Because we're going to assume she's 100% Eishes Ish to the second husband. Now let's say, in other words, Tosfos draws out the following scenario. Suppose, for example, that her first husband went missing. Then we found a body, and we used simonim to identify that it's that, and to identify that it's him. Now, so she goes and marries somebody else. Now, while she's married to the second guy, she's Mizana. Suppose that in between, we actually had Adam come with definitive proof, not just simonim, that her first husband was dead. So now, why don't we say, maybe we should say, well, then we have definite proof that her first husband was dead at the time of the Zinus. The fact that she's married to the second man isn't really a marriage. What if her husband actually was still alive at the time and she's not legally married to the second guy? Well, then she's a Pnuya at this point. So her being Mizana wouldn't make her an Eishes Ish. She wouldn't be an Eishes Ish and she wouldn't be Chayav Nisa. Nevertheless, we see, says Tosfos, that we do. We don't assume that. We assume that the simonim are good enough to say she really was a widow at the time she married the second husband, and therefore she is fully legally married to him and is Chayav Nisa for the Znus. So you see, therefore, that simonim are good enough when it comes to matters of dinin nefashos. So Tosfos actually says that no, in a case like that, we actually would not rely on the simonim. We would say, fine, there's many different penalties for if she's Mizana, but to go and execute her in a case like that, Tosfos says we actually might not, because we relied only on simonim to say that her first husband was dead, and maybe that's not good enough. So Tosfos learns that she actually wouldn't be Chayav Nisa. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to argue with that, and in fact the Shev Shmaitzer understands the Rambam to be saying. The Rambam talks specifically about a case of Chela, but the Shev Shmaitzer explains that it also applies to Nisas Beis Din. So in other words, the difference would be once we say that we have simonim that the husband is dead, so now basically that itself becomes a known fact, and now we don't need Adim anymore. So it's not, in other words, unlike in Or Gemara over here, where you're saying that you want to execute a person based on simonim. We recognize that he has such and such simonim, and that would be reason. According to that, the way of looking at it would be that no, when over there, the simonim are an indirect cause. Because of the simonim, he was able to remarry. And now when she's remarried, she committed zinus, so it's not really such a close connection. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Teida, and Rav Ashi says, here, I'll bring you another proof about the strength of Tvi Asayim. Suppose a person tells the Shliach, Kariya Lukanya, the high simone, you send the Shliach, and you tell him, go call this person who looks like such and such, hero his simone. Sofik Yodale. The fact is, the Shliach may not know who he's looking for. He may not be able to recognize based on that simone. But if he recognizes him on sight, as soon as he sees him, he's going to know him. So you see that many times Tvias Ayin is even stronger than Simonim. Okay, so again, are we talking about the different degrees of Tvias Ayin? Are we talking about an Amma Oretz versus a Tamat Fafan? And again, to what extent do you need either of these things when it comes to me, given the Machlokas we're showing him about Bosser Shem Zalem and Ayin? Okay. Now let's get back to Edinim of Gid Anosha after all of this digression about Bosesh and Esalam and Ayin and all that. The Mishnah says, Hanoito Gid Anosha, when a person is taking out the Gid Anosha from a leg of an animal, from a thigh of an animal, he has to take out the entire thing. Rashi points out, we learned a few dafim ago, that Rameo holds, you have to dig in and remove every blanching and everything of it. So our mission, Machata Dafra, B'chobokam Shahu, so our mission would be going, so there's a Tanakama of our mission, which would be Rav Meir, would stand Mishnah Rav Meir, so that's he's saying you have to remove the whole thing. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, today Lekayim and Mitzvah Snechila, all you need to do is you have to be Lekayim the Mitzvah of taking it out. So he says basically that you don't need to take out the whole thing, just the more superficial part of it. It's what the Gemara had explained, that we had over there on Sadiq Beis and the Beis, we had the expression that Rabbi Yehuda said, Goymimoy in a Shofi, that he cuts it off, flush with the muscle over there. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's all you need to cut out. We talked about over there, Rashi versus Tosfos, whether Gomimai Mashofi, whether he means the Gid itself, or whether he means the Chelev around it. Rashi had learned that it meant the Chelev, but, But the that so you have to remove that and also the GID and Toast had said that no, it just means the GID itself. But clearly there's a whole nother matter. Next, the Mishnah continues. If a person eats a kizayis, the gid anosha, so for that boy, then he's getting malchus. He's getting 40, which is to say 39 malchus. Now, there's one point is the chiddush of it is we're going to start learning in the Gemara. We're going to talk about the matter of yesh the gid menosim tam or in the gid menosim tam. We touched on it earlier in the Seder. We're going to discuss it in more detail later on beginning on other days. Does the Gid Anosha itself have a flavor which is significant in Halacha? So therefore, the Kiddush would be that even if it doesn't have such a flavor, nevertheless, eating Kizayis of it would make him Chayav Malchus. Another way of looking at it, Rabbeinu Yohanesin explains that the Kiddush is that you would think maybe not a Kizayis, maybe it has to be a person who eats a complete Gid Anosha. So in any case, he's getting malchus. Ochle ve'en ve'kazai is chayiv. If he ate an entire gid anosha and it didn't have a kazayis in it, then he'd be chayiv because it's a barrier. As we learned the other day, that you have certain times when you have a distinct isser by itself, which is an object of isser all by itself, and a person is chayiv malchus for it, even if it's less than a kazayis. An example Rashi gives is from a gemara from a Mishnah in Matthas, that if a person eats one ant, then he's chayiv malchus, even though an ant is far smaller than a kazayis because it's a barrier. So in the same thing over here, the Tanna Kamma is saying that the Gid Anosha itself is considered a barrier, and therefore if you have a complete Gid Anosha, then he's also chayav for the whole thing. On the other hand, so Ochel Mizek Kazayis from Mizek Kazayis, then if a person ate from a Kazayis from each of two different Gid Anoshas, it's Sofik Shmonim, then he's getting double Malkus, 80 Malkus, Rabbi Yehuda Omen, it's Sofik Al Boim, and Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Yehuda says he gets only 40, he gets only one time Malkus, because as we learned a few days ago, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the issue of Gid Anosha applies to only one leg, which he said that logic dictates, a das note, logic tells us that it's the right leg, and we discussed there that Rabbi Yehuda actually learns from a positive that it's the right leg, and therefore you can say definitively that only the right leg is a person higher for, the other one from the left leg is also only Dirabbanan. In the end, we learned a few days ago that Rabbi Yehuda had held because the pasuk says Asher Akaf Hayorech, and the word Hayorech means the special, the unique one among the five, namely the right one. And we talked about over there Rabbi Yehuda's opinion about how the Malach attacked Yaakov, etc. Okay, so let's talk about this matter of how much of the Gid Anosha has to be removed. The Gemara says Bar Piyuli have a Koi Kameh to Shmuel. Bar Piyuli, that was his name, was one time standing in front of Shmuel, become a Nakar Atma, and he was doing Nikru, he was removing the parts from a thigh that can't be eaten, which includes the Gid Anosha and other things like that. Have a Kagoyim right, but he was only cutting it flush like Rabbi Yehuda. He was just cutting the part that the part that's not completely embedded in the muscle, and he wasn't going digging deep to remove all the places where it's embedded in the muscle and where it branches off and so forth. Amalei, so Shmuel tells him, go deeper into it. You have to remove the whole Gid Anosha. You know what? Now if I hadn't seen you, if I hadn't watched what you were doing, Safisa the Yisura, you would have given me an Isur to eat because you would have left parts of the Gid Anosha in there. Utas. So Bar Piyuli was very, very scared. I almost caused Shmuel to eat something non kosher. Nofos Sakinim Yodeh, he dropped his knife out of fear. So Shmuel says, "Loi tivsas, don't be so afraid. It's not that I'm not thinking that you and I'm a oretz or a rosha or something like that." In other words, why was he so afraid? Not so much because he was about to give Shmuel something that's also, as the Gemara is going to explain over here. He himself was taught like an opinion that it's mutter. But rather, the reason why he was so scared is when Shmuel tells him, "You almost gave me something that's also to eat." It sounds like Shmuel is telling him, "You're an ama oretz, you're a rosha." So now Shmuel tells him, "Don't be so afraid. I'm not accusing you of that." The Olilach, Rabbi Yehuda Olilach, whoever taught you, Nikur, taught you, like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that you only need to cut off the outer part of it. But I hold the halacha is like the mayor, like the Tanna Kamma of our Mishnah, that you have to remove the whole thing. So that's why I'm telling you to cut. So I'm not suspecting you did anything wrong, but from now on you should know if you're going to prepare meat for me, then you have to do it the way I'm telling you. Okay, so how much did Bar Piyuli actually remove? So Amar Rav Sheshes, my the shocker Bar Piyuli, Daraisa L'Rav Yehuda. What Bar Piyuli had removed before Shmuel told him otherwise was the part, was only the part that is also Daraisa according to Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara asks, wait a minute, what are you telling me? Mishklal B'Shayer did Rabbanan L'Rav Yehuda. So what are you telling me then? The implication is that there's a part which Rav Yehuda would agree is also Rabbanan, and Bar Piyuli had not cut that out. Can't be. Elijah Urile, come on, Urile. Well, then whoever taught him, Nikur, what did he teach? Who did he teach him like? He didn't teach him like a mayor, obviously, because he wasn't removing the whole thing. If you're going to tell me, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that there's parts that are also the Rabbanon, then why isn't he cutting them out? So you're right. Elo Omer of Sheshes. So rather, Rav Sheshes says, no, my shuffle, Bar Piyuli, Daraisa. What Rav Piyuli was removed was the part that is also Daraisa. Umay Deshayer, Drabbanon, not a mayor. What he left over was the part that appointed a mayor is also only Drabbanon. Now, there's a different Gisa over here. Hagos Habach adds the words over here that what Bar Piyuli took out was Daraisa, Lira mayor. That appointed a mayor, that's the only part that's also. So with those words, it means, in other words, that even a mayor agrees with the part that's also Daraisa and the part that's also Drabbanon. So he had removed the part that's also Daraisa according to the mayor, and he had left the part that is, and he had left the part that's also only Drabbanon according to the mayor. Because again, he was taught like Rabbi Yehuda. So without those words, Luda Meir, then it would mean that everybody agrees that there's a certain part which is also Daraisa, and that's what he removed. And then what he left over was the part that appointed a mayor was only Drabbanon, and appointed a Yehuda is not even that, and it's completely mutter. To eat of Yehuda, feel the Drabbanon Shori, appointed a Yehuda. Even the only you have to be goyim, you only have to cut out the outer part and the part of it that's embedded in the muscles. Even appointed a Yehuda would be mutter, even Drabbanon. So, in other words, it comes out from that, so according to that way of looking at it, that Rav Meir would agree that in other words, there's two ways of looking at it. Is it that Rav Meir would hold that there's a part which is also Daraisa, but then the fact that you have to dig in further is only Drabbanon? Or would it be that both Rav Meir whereas meanwhile Rav Yehuda would hold that there's a part that's also Daraisa and then the rest of it is not even also at all, not even Drabbanon? Or is it that both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda agree that there's a certain part which is also Daraisa? Then Rav Meir says the rest of it is also Drabbanon, and Rav Yehuda would hold that the rest of it is not even also Drabbanon. In addition, you also have the Rosh Yosef points out we would have also had to take the fat around the Gidan Osha because we lived before the fat is also the Rabbanon. Although, in fact, the Tavar explains that when the Gemara is saying that he took out whatever is also in Atorah according to the mayor, he means that he took the part that was also in Atorah according to the mayor, so he would have actually taken out the entire gid. Because according to the mayor, the whole thing was also in Atorah. When we say that he left something to Rabbanon according to the mayor, the Ritzvot says that means he left the Shuman Agid, he left the fat, and Shmuel tells him you have to take that out as well. So you have a number of different explanations among the Rishonim. In fact, again, Tosfos a few Dafim ago learned that according to the mayor, you don't even have to remove the Shuman Agid, even the Rabbanon. So then it would mean that Bar Piyuli didn't remove the Shuman Agid, didn't remove that fat either, because according to the way he had learned, whoever taught him Nikur was that you don't have to remove that fat at all. In any case, the point is, so there's a couple of different ways of understanding what happened over here, but obviously Bar Piyuli was not doing anything that according to the way he had learned was wrong. He was doing the Nikur exactly the way he was told, but Shmuel told him, I hold that that's not good enough because I hold like the mayor, whether it's that you have to remove the entire gid, whether it's that you have to remove the shuman as well, etc. So, but again, don't think that I'm suspecting you of actually deliberately doing something wrong or not knowing better. Tosfos has a discussion over here, a further discussion about exactly. So it's that when we're saying that he left over something, Tosfos says that in the first version, the Gemara seems to assume that there's something which even Rabbi Yehuda would hold is also Drabbanon. And then Rav Meir would hold that the parts that Rabbi Yehuda is saying Drabbanon were actually Daraisa. But then Tosfos says that it would mean that no, because then you have three different, then it comes out, they have three different opinions. We learned earlier in the Perek that as Gemara is going to say now in the Gemara, that the Torah asks is only the part of the Gid HaNasha that is Al HaKaf, that's actually on the rounded muscle, and then you would have that, and then you would have furthermore, then Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, then you'd have two other opinions, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and Tosfos says apparently not. So, and there's quite a bit of discussion among Achronim explaining exactly what Tosfos is saying over here, but again, then you have, so again, this gets into the question, what exactly is Rabbi Meir Asul Daraisa? Is it the entire Gid HaNasha, or is it even according to him? Only part of it is also Daraisa, and the rest is also the Rabbanan, and where does the Shulman HaGid fit in there? So you have all those considerations. Next. The Mishnah said, that if a person eats the Gid HaNasha, then if he eats a Kazayas, then he gets Malchus. And we said if he eats a complete Gid HaNasha, even though it's not a Kazayas, then he also gets Malchus. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, like Osra Torah, Ela Shala Kachdo Vav. What the Torah asks is only the part of the Gid HaNasha that is actually on the calf, that is on the spoon-shaped muscle of the thigh. Go Vav only. Because the post says that we don't eat the Gid HaNasha, Asher Al Kach HaYarech, so only the part of the nerve that lies there is also Daraisa. However, Amar Papa Ketanoi, however, Papa points out, this is actually a Mechlokas Tanoim, what Shmuel was saying is not necessarily universally agreed to by all the Tanoim. Because the Braisa says, Ochlei Ve'en V'Kazayis Chayev, that if a person eats a Gid HaNasha and it's not a Kazayis in size, then he's Chayev, as it said in the Mishnah, but Rabbi Yehuda Oima Ad Shehei V'Kazayis. But Rabbi Yehuda says he's Chayev only if it has a Kazayis. Now, my time is the Rabbanon. Now, why did the Rabbanon hold that it should be Chayev Malchus, even if it was smaller than a Kazayis, as long as it was a complete Gid HaNasha? Because they hold barrier b'fnei atzma, they hold as a barrier. The word b'fnei atzma don't really belong over here. We have earlier in the Masechta, we have the words barrier b'fnei atzma when we're talking about a koyim, when we're talking about this animal that we weren't sure if it was a sofik chaya, it was a sofik chaya, sofik behema, and we said one way of understanding it is it's a separate species, and the question is whether it fits the definition of behema or chaya. Here, the word b'fnei atzma is meaningless, so the word is supposed to be barrier atzma, barrier he, which is why the words b'fnei atzma are in parenthesis in the bottom. So the chum hold barrier here, the chum hold that the Gid HaNasha is considered to be a barrier. Now, ordinarily, the definition of a barrier is a creature that lives on its own, independently. We talk about, for example, a person eats an ant. So the ant by itself would be, as long as it's a complete intact ant, then he's Chayav Malchus because it was a barrier. Now, the Gid HaNasha, of course, doesn't live alone on itself. So how does it get the definition of barrier? So Tosfos discusses in some detail over here. You do even have, there is an opinion in Masechet Makos that says that even a grain of wheat can be a barrier. That's not the halacha. The halacha is that it has to be a living creature. So Tosfos explains basically the difference would be is it that the Torah tells us there's a specific thing that you're not allowed to eat. So you have, for example, the Gid HaNasha, where the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat a non-kosher animal or bird or whatever. So it doesn't matter the size, either way a person is chayev. When the Torah just gives us a description, Tosfos learns, that when the Torah tells us, for example, don't eat nevela, there's a certain nevela. The definition of nevela is anything that died without a proper shita, or something like that, or chaylev, or whatever, so then he'd be chayev only if he eats a kezayis. So in other words, so the difference is basically, is there an issue on this particular, on this specific object, or is it the Torah tells us there's a certain part of something that you can't eat or whatever. Tosfos mentions also in the relevant Gemara and Makos explains that another way of looking at it is that it's only when it's whole. Nevela or trefer or chelev, the issue applies even to pieces of it. Then you have the Rashba gives a triple definition. The Rashba says in order for something to be considered a barrier, it has to be that it was also from when it came into existence. So for example, that's why Nevela is not considered a barrier. Second of all, the Rashba learns it has to be something living or something from, or in the case of Gid HaNasha, that it came from something that was living. So for example, not a grain of wheat or whatever. And third of all, the Rashba learns that it has to be that if it's cut up, then it doesn't have the same name anymore. So let's say, for example, nevela. So you have a piece of nevela, is still called Nevela, as opposed to a piece of Gid Anosha. It's not, it's a piece of Gid Anosha. It's not the entire thing. So the Rashba brings this triple definition of how we know whether something is a barrier. And then the Ran disagrees on the third point. He says even if it's cut up, it could still be considered a barrier. So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings these dinim a barrier. In Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't bring dinim that are relevant to Malkus, because Malkus we don't have nowadays. We don't have a base in Smukim. However, you do have a concept in Halacha. We're going to start talking about tomorrow, and we're going to continue over the next couple of dafim. That's the Shem. We're going to start talking about the dinim of Bitul, of when an Isser is Bottle and Heter. And one point is that if you have an Isser, which is a barrier, then it's not Bottle, even if you have 1,000, so now we have to define what a barrier is, and therefore, so now you have that. So now you have that definition over there. So again, the Mechaber brings all those three definitions. That's the Mitzchilas V'Riyosei, that to begin with, it was when it first came into existence, it was also. So not, for example, of a bird which is Nevela or Sharaniskel. It has to have something that had Chayos. So not, for example, a grain of wheat. It had to be also Mitzchilas V'Riyosei, and it had to be something that if it's divided up, then it doesn't have the same name anymore as opposed to, for example, Chayos. So, in that connection, as far as Gid Anosha, that Amar points out, the main Gid Anosha is indeed only what's Shalakach Bilvad, as Shmuel said over here. So therefore, that piece alone, approximately 4 fingers width, would be considered a barrier by itself. Fine. So the Chum says it's a barrier, and therefore there's reason to be Mechayev and Malkus, even if it was less than a Kazayis. Rabbi Yehuda answers back. No, the fact is, the pasuk says you're not allowed to eat it. And whenever you talk about not eating something, then it means a kazayas. So Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore, so you have to say, therefore, that means dafka if you ate a kazayas, not the fact that it was a barrier. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't care about that. Now, Tosfos points out, and so do a number of other Rishonim, as Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the din about Raposan eats an ant, for example, they also, it says, don't eat them, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees that he's chayav b'kol shehu. So Tosfos says, because, in other words, the point is, now, let's say the other way around. Let's say the creature is much larger than a kazayas. Let's say it's 4 or 5 kazayasim in size. So now, if he eats only 1 kazayas, so that it would be enough. Here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that we learn from our Sherab Hafa Yorek, and therefore it means that, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is saying that only what we hear, the Torah didn't need to tell us the word achila, because it says asherah kafayoreh, which already implies that you don't have to eat the whole gid anosha in order to be chayev. So therefore, why would the Torah say achila? So Rabbi Yehuda says that means it has to be a kazayis. Next. So that says, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that he can't be chayev malchus for eating it if it was less than a kazayis. The Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan answer to that? Hahi achila, that we're mentioning, that if he eats it as chayev, is exactly the same as, for example, what Tosfos is saying about the insect. Jechi yisrei abal v'chamisha zesim, suppose that the gid anosha is 4 or 5 kazayisim in size, v'ocho chad kazayis, and he eats only 1 kazayis, michayev, then he's going to be chayev. And the chiddush is, even though, in other words, they consider the gid anosha a barrier, and you would think that maybe the Torah is asking it only if it's complete, but nevertheless, because the Torah used the word achila, then it means that he's chayev even for a kazayis. Where's Rabbi Yehuda? What answer to that? You don't need the pasuk for that. Me'asherah kafa yoreth nafta. So the question is, Rabbi Yehuda, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, where does he know this din, that if you eat only 1 kazayis, a person eats only 1 kazayis out of a gid anosha, he's going to be chayev? The answer is asher al kafa yorech, and me asher al kafa yorech nafka. He learns it from the words asher al kafa yorech, which implies that only part of it is also. He eats only the part that's asher al kafa yorech, then he's chayim. So all the more so then if he eats the whole thing, but you don't need to tell us if he eats only 1 kazayis, so therefore he can say that. So it does need to be a kazayis because it says lo yochul bnei Yisrael. But nevertheless, we can understand that it means that if he eats the entire that if he eats 1 kazayis out of an entire gid anosha, he'd be chayav. Because in any case, the Torah is only asking part of it, only the part that's asher al kaf. Okay, Rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, they say that the words Asher al Kaf HaYarech is needed to teach us what Shmuel says, which we just said before, Dama Shmuel, Lo Asher Torah El Asher al Kaf HaYarech. That Shmuel holds, that Shmuel tells us that the Torah is asking only the part, Asher al Kaf HaYarech, the rest of it is not awesome in a Torah. So therefore, so they need the words for that. So therefore they would say that you needed to teach us that, and therefore you don't have a source. You wouldn't have a source to say that if you eat only one kezias out of an entire gidanosha, that a person should be chayev. And for that, we need the word achiva, but the chachamim still are going to say that if you ate, that if a person ate an entire gidanosha, even though it's less than a kezias, he would also be chayev malchus. So for Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, Hayorech, because after all, the pasuk doesn't just say kaf, it says hayorech, and therefore we can learn from that that it means that only what's on the yorech, only what's on the thigh is osur. So in other words, so Rabbi Yehuda actually would say that no, hayorech, it doesn't just mean asher al kaf hayorech, it doesn't just mean what's on the spoon shaped muscle. Rabbi Yehuda would actually hold that no, there is more the whole length of it along the thigh would be also. So he would say no, it's not just a shara kaf. You have to look further down as well where it continues through the thigh, so you don't have to do all the branchings of it like we said before. But nevertheless, you do have to do further down than just a shara kaf hayarech. So he said Rabbi Yehuda learns that from the word hayorech, then it means it's more of the thigh. But Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan answer to that, hahu deposhet isurei b'kol hayarech, it means to define which gid is it that's osur, the one that spreads out throughout the thigh, la poke chitzin deloy, as opposed to the gid achitzin, the outer nerve, which as we learned before is not osur, at least on a daraisa level. At the beginning of the perek, we talked about a little bit, we talked about sporadically here and there, what gid is what. You have the inner gid, which is the sciatic nerve. You have the outer nerve, which is you have other nerves. You have another nerve over there called the saphenous nerve. You have the femoral nerve, and you have different opinions and different minhagim, which one is considered the gidah pnimi and which one is the gidah chitzai. So the Chacham say from the word hayorech, we're learning not that there is more of the length of it than is also that you, Rabbi Yehuda, are saying, but rather to define which gid is it that's also in the light. Olam shalak kaf, but nevertheless, it still is only the one that's on the kaf, only the area of it that's on the kaf is the part that's also daraisa. Now, what does Rabbi Yehuda say to that? Tosfos earlier in the parak brings two different opinions. One is that Rabbi Yehuda would say the gid achitzin is also awesome in Atzera, since he's using the word hayorech for a different derasha, or that even what Tosfos says, maybe even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, it's not awesome in Atzera. And Rabbi Yehuda is learning multiple drushes from the same pasuk that it means that it does extend further down the thigh, but also that it doesn't include the yerech achitzin. That it doesn't include the gid achitzin, the outer gid. In any case, so going back and forth then between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So in the end, you have the Chachamim say that there's, in the end, the Chachamim say we're using the word achilash lo yoyfu bnei Yisrael to teach us that a person is chayav for kizayis out of a larger gid. But nevertheless, that doesn't mean that if he eats an entire gid, he shouldn't also be chayav malchus. But as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda saying you always need to have achila, and if he eats less than a kizayis, then he's not going to be chayav malchus. Tosfos gives a different explanation of the Parshati Surah, the Kol Yerech, that it means that it doesn't mean that the Issu spreads throughout the whole leg. It means that the Gid, which is also, spreads out throughout the thigh, and that defines for us which Gid it is that's also. Okay, you want to ask the high calf and boiler the Mu'uti Oif to less than calf. How are we learning from the word calf to say that it means that Shmuel is saying it means that only what's on the calf is also daraisa? Aren't we using the word calf, as we learned at the beginning of the parak, to say that a bird's gidanosha is not also because it doesn't have a calf? The muscle or the thigh muscle of a bird is not round and spoon shaped like that. And the answer is chere calf, Sivi. So and the answer is because it says twice, kaf in the psukim, asher kaf ayarech, that we don't need to get on usher, which is asher kaf ayarech, ki noga b'chaf yarech Yaakov, because the malach touched the kaf of Yaakov's thigh. So you have two words, kaf and the pasuk over there, so therefore, so we can have the chachamim can learn from it the din of Shmuel, that only, what's also is only asher ala yarech, and according to the and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can learn from that that it means that that he eats just the part of Asher al Kaf Yarech alone. He's chayav malchus, even as long as it's a kazayis. But and then from the other calf, we can learn the din that it applies only to creatures that have a spoon shaped thigh, as opposed to birds. So the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, and therefore you do have to remove all of it, and the Shuman, the fact around it, and all of it is also some Daraisa, some Darabanan, but therefore, like we talked about before, this is why you very rarely find the thigh or the back leg of an animal available as kosher meat, because it's very difficult to do the nikur properly. Let's start the next Mishnah and start a little on the next topic. The Mishnah says, Yerech shenisbashavu gidan nosha. If a thigh of an animal was cooked with the gidan nosha inside it, and then he removed it off, and then he removed it afterwards. If the gidan nosha was large enough to give a flavor into the meat, then the meat is going to be osur because it absorbed a flavor of treifa, and therefore it became osur. Now, of course, this is following the way of looking at it that yesh begid in the recent time, that the gid itself is considered to have a flavor that can impart to the meat. If you say in begid in the recent time, which now we're going to start learning in the Gemara tomorrow, back and forth about that, and then if we say in begid in the recent time, then it would mean it's not giving a flavor to the leg, and therefore it wouldn't be awesome. Rashi explains further on in the Sugya, that if you left the fat of the gid anasha there, then you have a problem, because the fat is also, and the fat unquestionably gives a flavor to the meat. On the other hand, Tosfos says, look, the fat is also only dirabanan, so therefore, say, what are you going to say? The gid itself is not going to create any problem, and the fat will. So therefore, Tosfos learns that, no, if you say en begid menosin tam, then even if you cooked it together with the fat, it still wouldn't be also. So Kate Mishano. So the Mishnah continues, how do you evaluate it? How do you know whether it gave a flavor or not? So you figure it out. You picture as though you had meat that was cooked together with turnips. So you consider as though the thigh as a whole was turnips and the gid anasha was flesh. Now, if you were to cook together this amount of meat and this amount of turnips, would the turnips taste of meat? So then it would mean that. How do we get that? Why adapt the turnips and meat? It actually explains in general shiur mahalach l'moshe m'sinai, the whole concept that we say that a shiur, a kazayis of this is also, and different other shiurim, that we say throughout halacha. All of those halach l'moshe m'sinai, and Hashem taught Moshe that this is how you should figure it out. As opposed to, in other words, it actually points out if it was other vegetables, then you would need different. Announce what Allah from Moshe Mishinai tells us that you should do that you have to consider it as though it's meat and turnips. Now Tosfos brings up a point over here that you have to consider not just the gid itself, because you also have the as it is, Tosfos points out, when you salted the meat in order to cook the thigh, you had to have salted it first to remove the blood, and at that point, then, it will have absorbed a certain amount of flavor from the gidanosha, maybe not in the whole thigh, but kadei klipa, a peel, thick piece around the gidanosha. So now shouldn't we have to take that into consideration as well? It would mean, in other words, yes, we would have to figure out not just the volume of the gid anasha itself, we would have to figure out the volume of the gid anasha plus this kadei klipa around it, and then see if compare that to the rest of the thigh and see whether you have this amount with meat and turnips. Now, Tosfos further points out in this connection There is an opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim, which we're going to have later on in our perek when we get more into these dinim about tarubas. Later on, we're going to learn something. We're going to learn about something called chaticha nasas nevela. Sometimes we have that a piece of heter absorbed isser, and it itself is now considered to be completely isser. It itself becomes effectively nevela. And that has implications as far as the halachas of being bitul b'shishim or whatever of tarubas. Meaning, let's say for example, so let's say for example a case of basa b'chalav. Suppose you have a piece of meat with a drop of milk fell on it. Now, if the piece of meat is enough to be mevatel the milk, if it's 60 times the size, then no problem, the piece itself is mutter. Suppose it wasn't. Suppose the piece was only 50 times the volume of the milk. Well, then the piece becomes usser, we know. The question is now, what does it do to the rest of the pieces of meat in the pot? Do we now say, well, all we need is 60 times the volume of the original milk that fell in, and therefore that would be enough. So this individual piece that it fell off, maybe also, but the rest of it will be fine. Or are we going to say, chaticha nasis nevela, that one piece itself, having become osir as a result of absorbing the milk, now becomes as if it was a piece of nevela itself, and to be mevatel, you're going to need 60 times the volume of that piece. So we're going to talk about that later on in our parak. Now you have, there are different opinions of Rishonim. Everybody agrees that concept, Chaticha Nasas Nevela, applies to Basa B'chalav. Does it apply to other Tarubas? Tosfos points out that Rabbeinu Ephraim, and there are other Rishonim as well, who learn that it applies only to Basa B'chalav. Well, then, according to that way of looking at it, then by the Gidan Rasha over here, even you salted it with the rest of the thigh, you don't have a problem. It is also around Kedei Klipa, the amount that you might get a peelable layer of it, but nevertheless, it wouldn't ask for the rest of the meat because it's not itself nevela. But if you say that it is, then you would say that you would need to, when we're figuring out over here the meat and the turnips business, you would actually need to figure the volume not only of the Gidan Rasha itself, but also of the Kedei Klipa around it. Then Tosfos further on points out that we seem to be saying in Yesh Bob and Noisim Tam, Arezu Asura was saying that if the thigh itself is in it, that if the thigh itself is large enough that now the gid is not Noisim Tam in it, then we're fine. But what about you also have the gravy over there? What about you also have other things in the pot? No, Tosfos says it seems from the implication of the Mishnah that only you have to consider only the thigh itself. And Tosfos discusses why that should be. And again, that gets into these dinim of tarubas and these dinim of chaticha, nasas, nevela, and all kinds of complications like that. There is actually a point in Hilchos Tarubas. The Shach brings up something called Isur Dovuk. You actually have a case where one Isur is attached to something else, And therefore, we consider only that. He brings from Rishonim. It's not his own chiddush. He brings from Rishonim that explain that you have a concept called isur dovuk. When you have an isur that's directly attached to a particular heter, then you need that particular heter to mevatel it and nothing else. So that would explain Tosfos' question why you don't count the gravy and the other pieces of meat and so on and so forth is because since the gidanosha is stuck to the yerech over here to the thigh, then you can count only that and nothing else. Nothing else factors in. Okay. The Mishnah continues, Gidan Nosha Shnisbashal in a Gidim. Suppose the Gidan Nosha alone, not inside the thigh, was cooked together with other Gidim that are mutter to eat. Bizman Shemakiroi, so if you can recognize it, if you can see this is the Gidan Nosha, then the rule is, again, they throw it out, and then Benos in town, and you have to see whether it gave a flavor to the other Gidim, and then they would be also. Again, you have the same thought, again, looking at the consideration if we say the Gidin Benos in town. In other words, the difference is, before we were talking about Min B'Shein and Minoy, because the Gidan Nosha versus the meat of the thigh are two different Minim, as opposed to the Sefer, you're talking about all Gidim, and therefore it's all considered the same kind of thing. So there you can't really do Benos and Tam. So you would have to see is it so you can't really taste it to see whether there's a difference, but you can see whether it's enough to be Benos and Tam. You usually would be Shishim. Vim Wav, and if not, Kulamasurin, then all of them would be Osir because each one of them might be the Gid. Now why is it not Bottle? We'll deal with that in a couple of Dafim in the Gemara. And the Mishnah continues, the same thing is true, and the Mishnah says, as far as the gravy, there you would consider Noisin Tam only if the Gidan Nosha put a flavor into it. And there you'll actually have then there you'll actually have the other Gideon will combine together to make the volume of 60 to be mevatele. Okay, v'chein chatzicha shal nevela. The same thing is true with a piece of nevela meat. V'chein chatzicha shal dog tummy, or a piece of non-kosher fish, shenizvashli machatichas, that were cooked together with other pieces of kosher meat or kosher fish. Same thing. There's manchem akiran. If you can recognize, if you can recognize the one that's also, then you throw it out, but no sin tam, and you see whether it was enough to give a flavor into the other ones. Vim lav, and if not, pull an asuris, then all of the pieces are going to be also valrota, but no sin tam, and only when it comes to the gravy or the soup or whatever, then you would consider, then you would consider no sin tam. And Rashi points out that if the pieces that are also is not enough to give a flavor into all the other pieces and the gravy and the everything else and the stuff that congeals at the bottom of the pot and everything, then in fact we would say the gravy would be mutter because it's bottle b'shishim, that all the pieces would be also because any individual piece might be the actual one of Isser. And again, why it wouldn't be bottle, then we're going to talk about, we'll learn about in the Gemara. So we'll start talking tomorrow in the Gemara, Bez Hashem. We'll start talking about these detailed dinim of Tarubis, and that's going to extend over the next couple of dafim to learn all these dinim about Tarubis and Bitul B'Shishim and Bitul B'Roy and all those kinds of things that take up much, much space in Shulchan Aruch, in the Halachas of Bosa B'Cholob, and in the Halachas of Tarubis.